Good morning, everyone. As you can tell, this is a little bit of a different service today. We've got some very special guests in our midst who are going to be joining us in worship. Speaking with us later on today, and I've been at a couple of workshops with Christine Longhurst at CMU, brought one of the souvenirs I have from that. There's a song list in here. And Christine led us yesterday in a workshop around worship and worship music. And it was greatly, we got a lot out of it, put it that way. Sorry, Steve. Dug in my old LPs. As you can see, this is Elias Schrittenbell. And as I was bringing my kids into this world, there's a lyric, and I can't recite it, but it has gone through my head from Jenny, that has gone through my head many, many times, and something about the world being very cruel, but there's lots of hope going forward. So as we start our service this morning, Steve will be leading us in some worship songs.
That album is... Boy, it's 1981, I think it came out, so that's pretty old. I'm a little shocked to see that. Hey, well, listen, it's great to be here. I hope what I do is, I always get nervous going into a church service because I don't know the culture of your service, and so I'd hate to do something inappropriate, so I'll just do what comes naturally to me and trust that it's going to be okay, and if it isn't, you look very nice and you'll probably never tell me, so it'll all be fine. And it's good to be here also because I just live up the street, and my wife and I worship at a church that worships on Sunday evening, so often when you're in here, I'm walking my dog past on a Sunday morning. I'm just very mindful of your presence in this community, and it's just lovely to kind of walk my dog past on a Sunday morning and know there's a praying community in my neighborhood. And I've always sort of wanted to come and sing here for you, just to introduce myself and say, hey, neighbor. But I've been meeting a few, especially Charles, at the Starbucks on a fairly regular basis. And finally it dawned on us that he was at this church. And we said, hey, let's do something. So that's how this all came about. So anyways, it's lovely to be here. Song? Satisfy us in the morning with your love. Satisfy us in the morning with your love, that we may sing for joy and be glad in all our days. Satisfy us in the morning with your love. Match the days, Lord, of our sorrow with your joy. Match the days, Lord, of our sorrow with your joy. And may your deeds be always known to the ones you call your own. Match the days, Lord, of our sorrow with your joy. And may the favor of the Lord rest upon us and our land, and establish for us all the work of our hands. Yes, the work of our hands. Lord, for us you have been a refuge from age to age. Lord, for us you have been a refuge from age to age. Before the mountains were formed, and the earth and the world brought forth, you are the everlasting Lord. May the favor of the Lord rest upon us and our land, and establish for us all the work of our hands. And may the favor of the Lord rest upon us and our land, and establish for us all the work of our hands. Yes, the work of our hands. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'll say, if you feel awkward about clapping, it's less awkward than just being silent. So I know it's not for me. That's fine. But it just kind of gives a nice little sort of ending to this. So if that's okay with you, it makes me feel more at home. So that's good. Okay, I this one you might know. This is I wrote this years ago, and it's a very simple lyric. And I'll give you this one, and if you do well with the simple one, I'll give you a harder one later. So this is kind of an exercise in building trust. So your line is na 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 na, and then na 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 na. Then I'll go a little deeper with na 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 na. And finally arousing. Na 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 na. Awesome. I wrote that. it's Tongues for Mennonites and Baptists. There's you go. The part with lyrics comes from Isaiah 40. You'll recognize the text right away. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. Here's your part. Na 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 na. Lovely. Na 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 na. Again. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. For the Lord who is God calls his people home, not to be afraid as they journey the road. Hand in hand we'll be walking with the Lord our God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. And as we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run 4 miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. Your part. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Two more. Na 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 na. Yep. Na 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 na. On the wings. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. Two more. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. All right. Thank you. That's nice. Okay, here's a I'll sing the first half. This is kind of two songs that work together, and the first one I'll do, and then the second one I'll stop and teach. It's very, very simple. I wrote it at years ago at St. Benedict's Monastery, which is up the. I don't know how many of you have been there to visit, but my wife one time for my birthday present, she gave me a 3-day silent retreat at St. Benedict's. Sometimes you don't know who these gifts are really for, you know, and I'm from Baptist stock, and I'm an extroverted Baptist, which is the worst kind, because, you know, we're not a very quiet bunch, typically, and so for me to go and be silent for 3 days was like a really stressful thing. I just didn't know if I could do it. And I remember she dropped me off, and the sisters showed me around the building, and then they took me to my little monkish cell, and I got all comfortable and realized I didn't have any idea what to do. And I sort of sat there, and I realized I was tired, so I thought, well, maybe I'll have a nap. And so I lay down on the bed, and I fell asleep. And the place there, I mean, all that really happens there is sort of prayer and reflection. And there's something, it's not fancy, it's just restful. And I think just my life, all of a sudden, I just realized how exhausted I was. And I laid down and I fell asleep, and I, without a word of a lie, I woke up like a day and a half later. It was like, just, it was crazy. And after this, I remember sitting in my bed thinking, half over. This was easy. but as I was sitting there and wondering what I was going to do next, I heard that sisters were having one of their sort of daily offices of prayer. And like in the sort of the distance, I could hear this female voice chant, singular, no harmony, just a solo or a unison voice. Beautiful. So I kind of padded down the hall to look where this was coming from, came to this chapel. And they were kneeling in front of the altar in a sort of semicircle, and they were singing psalms, sort of as in this chant thing. And in that place with the reverb and all that, it was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever heard in my life. And I just remember just welling up, filling up with this beauty and this reverence and this devotion. And when I got back to my room, it was too much. I couldn't contain it, and it had to come out. And fortunately, I did think of taking my guitar with me, and so this is what came out from that.
Father gives away his word and his breath, and all things are called into being. This mystery of love and of life is a gift, and its glory beyond human reason. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth his glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Whatever he speaks is worthy to be pure and blameless and holy. Whatever he breathes is lovely indeed, forever reflecting his glory. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth his glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth his glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
After me.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Okay, so the lyrics of this are from the text Isaiah 6, and it's one of the sort of windows into heaven that we have from scriptures. And it's a marvelous, it's one of my favorite passages. I don't know, it's always, there's something in there for me. But in this story, Isaiah is apparently minding his own business, and all of a sudden he's whisked up to the heavenlies. And he gets to see what goes on up there, like he gets a day trip, and then come back and tell us what's going on. And so it's pretty fascinating, this story. And you can get a whole pattern of worship out of this experience that he has. But after he gets up there and he experiences the majesty of God and the throne and the robe and the smoke and the pillars shaking and the angels just swirling around the throne of God, calling out in ecstasy, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of his glory. What I find fascinating, apparently in heaven they sing about the glory of God on earth. So apparently the grass is greener on the other side. It works up there as well. That we're awfully impressed with what's going on up there, and they're just deeply impressed with what here. And I just find that really magnificent, actually. But when we sing holy, 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 we're not only singing here, we're singing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're singing with my grandparents. We're singing with friends that you know they can't see anymore. This is true for us now. This is the company that we keep. And if you sort of, in your mind's eye, take all your Bible heroes and historical heroes and your friends and loved ones that are not with us anymore, and realizing this is the company we keep now, not later. It's true now. We see it with our heart now. Someday we'll see it with all of our senses, but that should bring a little bit of joy and a little bit of exuberance. So let's... I know you can sing, Mennonites. Let's go for it. Okay, so here we go.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Blessed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing it out. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Do you guys want to do the actions to this? Like, are you an action congregation? See, I'm a Baptist. We're not allowed to dance, but we can do action songs. I'm not sure exactly what the difference is, but apparently it's significant. It's kind of... Just indulge me this. Let's stand. So sometimes it's just kind of good to get your body active in worship. And my dad's a pastor. He's also a counselor. And he used to tell me that when you're in counseling... There's when you're counseling somebody and they're talking, there's usually two communications coming at you. There's their mouth language, and then there's the body language. And he says usually one of them is lying. And the trick of the counselor is to figure out which one is lying and call them on it. And so when we do actions with our bodies that correspond to the words, it's sort of like bringing, sort of overcoming this dualism that we've allowed to creep into our society. That our bodies speak, that actions are language as well. And it just gets more going. So, Here's it's very simple. It goes holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. So heaven, right, and earth, and glory is just like that wellspring of joy, life, greening, all that kind of stuff, bubbling forth and like spring, like a fountain. And then Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You just drop your hands. So this is representing Christ who came to be with us so that we can be with him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. then back up, and then holy, holy, holy Lord. And we just repeat this till 11:30, to overtaken it in ecstasy. So here's go. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Blessed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Blessed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Okay, we'll do one more thing. This is interesting. And now we're going to take away the voice. And this happened, my father was teaching in, it was in a communist country years ago. I can't remember which one it was. And when he first started doing this teaching series to a bunch of pastors, they met out in a country situation, and they could sing, they could do whatever they wanted. But for the last few days of this conference, this teaching time, they were moved back to the city, and they were meeting in a basement. And it was told to my dad, we can't have a worship time because we don't want to be discovered here. And so you can speak, but we're not going to be singing or anything like that. So dad says, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And he had already taught them this song. So he said, let's do it without the lyric, right? Let's just let the body do the singing, you know? And they stood, and they did this silently. And it's a beautiful thing. But again, it just kind of helps you to realize that your gestures are speaking, you know? And that can be used for holy or not so holy purposes. And we know that, but gestures can be kind. They can be empathetic. They can be inviting, you know? So this is all important. But now we can gesture in solidarity with our brothers and sisters across the world who can't do this in public, right? So let's be quiet, and let's remember we can't be discovered, so no noise, but let's sing. Ready? Thank you. You can be seated. Okay, I'll sing you one more. One more quickly here. I'll sing a fairly new hymn to Christ, and I think it's sort of appropriate that we end this time just with a very, very definite center point. And this is from a poem a friend of mine wrote. He's an English poet. His name is Malcolm Guite. I met him several years ago at a conference in Oxford, a C.S. Lewis conference, and he was the main speaker. And I wish I could show him to you. He's a short, squat little Englishman with like lots and lots of gray hair and furry face and these little beady eyes. And he's got a pot belly and he's got a pipe and he's got a cane and he wears tweed and has gravy stains and he looks like a hobbit. He really does. He looks exactly like a hobbit. But he's this wonderful, joy-filled creature and one of the most amazing poets. And he sent me a poem when I started to work with his poetry for lyrics, for songs. He sent this to me. And it's a hymn to Christ on the Feast of Nativity. So it really belongs to the Christmas season, but we can sing this, of course, anytime. And he's hymning Christ and the attributes of Christ, the mystical, deepest truths of who Jesus is, as compared with the Roman gods as they would have been understood at the time. So it's like, they're like this, but you're like that. So it's a polemic. It's sitting up, so that's how polemic works. You teach by the opposite. And if you understood the Roman gods at the time, they were a very sorry lot. They weren't a majestic bunch of creatures. They were rapacious, they were competitive, they were conniving, they were lustful, there was nothing to be worshipped in them. They were to be feared. And they were to be placated. And worship was about placation much more than anything. And then into our life comes this new God, so to speak, who apparently loves the world. That would have been a new concept, because gods don't love the world, they use the world. Right? And that would have been a very... Rodney Stark, I was talking about this friend of mine with Christine, a writer, who says that in the first century of Christianity, the concept for gods to love the world, they would have had no catcher's mitt for that phrase. Just gods don't. Right? So this is very different. That would have been a radical concept. So here's the hymn. I'm gonna read you the poem once, then I'll sing it to you. Okay? This is beautiful. So again, remember, it's a polemic. So it starts off with talking about the Roman gods, and it says, "They sought to soar into the skies, those classic gods of high renown. For lofty pride aspires to rise, but you came down. You dropped down from the mountain sheer and forsook the eagle for the dove." The eagle was the symbol of imperial power, crushing top-down, indiscriminate power, right? So, "You dropped down from the mountain sheer, forsook the eagle for the dove. The other gods demand fear, but you give love." Right? "Where chiseled marble seems to freeze their abstract and perfected form, compassion brought you to your knees, your blood was warm. They called for blood and sacrifice, their victims on an altar bled. When no one else could pay the price, you died instead." Now it gets really good. "They towered above our mortal plane, dismissed this restless flesh with scorn, aloof from birth and death and pain, but you were born. Born to these burdens that are borne by all, born with us all astride the grave, weak to be with us when we fall, but strong to save." Isn't that magnificent? Okay, I'll sing it for you. "They sought to soar into the skies, those classic gods of high renown. For lofty pride aspires to rise, but you came down. Lofty pride aspires to rise, but you came down. You dropped down from the mountain sheer, forsook the eagle for the dove. The other gods demanded fear, but you gave love. The other gods demanded fear, but you gave love." Ooh, "Where chiseled marble seems to freeze their abstract and perfected form, compassion brought you to your knees, your blood was warm. They call for blood and sacrifice, their victims on an altar bled. When no one else could pay the price, you died instead. When no one else could pay the price, you died instead." Ooh, ooh, ooh. "They towered above our mortal plane, dismissed this restless flesh with scorn, aloof from birth and death and pain, but you were born. Aloof from birth and death and pain, but you were born. Born to these burdens, born by all, born with us all astride the grave, weak to be with us when we fall, and strong to save. Weak to be with us when we fall, and strong to save." Amen.
Thank you, Steve. What a wonderful way to start a morning on a Sunday. Songs of worship and songs of praise. For our call to worship this morning, I'll be reading Psalm 100. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Welcome the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs," which we just did. "Knowing that the Lord is God, it is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And now, unfortunately, I got to break things up with announcements. It's something actually that we talked a little bit about yesterday in our workshop, and that's to try to get the flow of a service moving in the right direction. And I'll be honest, this doesn't feel as though it's moving, but we need to follow some traditions, and we do need to have some announcements, and so therefore I will do what is necessary. Starting with what is happening in our church over the next little while, next Sunday, let's start with next Saturday, of course, our annual general meeting, 10 o'clock here, in the sanctuary here. If you need a copy of the annual report, there's some on the back table there and some over here. There is an electronic copy available as well. If you are needing such, please get a hold of Leanne and she will get an electronic copy to you. Next Sunday, we have parent-child dedication as well as new member acceptance with Aaron, Matthew, Carrie, and Deborah that will be joining our congregation. So please keep them in your prayers. The following Sunday, we have a group from Teen Challenge that will be leading us in our worship service. So please plan to be here for that. Also this week is the week of Festival of Prayer. So that's number 16 in your bulletin. And you can see that I don't think it got into your bulletin, but there is an order of this Festival of Prayer at a variety of churches around the city. And those are also at the back and at the side. Just a point under number 7. If you don't have enough Steve Bell CDs or music in your CD library, stevebell.com is the right place to go. Or Hall's Music, yeah, I see. Now on to our church family. So condolences go to the family and friends of Hildy Pollock. Go out to Hildy Pollock and the family and friends on the passing of Hildy's sister, Anna Marie Giesbrecht, age 58, on January the 11th. The funeral service will take place on the 26th here at NKMC. Also, condolences go out to Helene Weeb, Darlene and Wally Bargan, Valerie Weeb, Howard and Joe, Joanne Weeb, Alice Pound, and Ed and Adina Redikoff, and their families and friends on the passing of their husband, father, brother, and uncle, George Weeb, who was 88, who passed away on the 15th. Church service interment will take place at Glen Eden on Tuesday, January the 20th, followed by funeral service here at 11 o'clock. We extend our sincere sympathies and pray for God's comfort upon every mission choir. Will be here for George's funeral, but not for Anna Marie Giesbrecht. Walter and Helen Fast have asked for prayer support at this time as well. Walter has had a stroke and is now recovering at home waiting for occupational therapy. Also, please keep Sarah Cowenhoven in your prayers as she goes in for surgery tomorrow. Are there any other prayer requests? We'll go into a time of sharing at this point. We do have a microphone as usual. If not, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for calling us by name. In you we live and move and grow. We pray for churches and Christians around the world. Remind us of our common foundation in Christ. May we grow together in faith and in love until we attain that unity which is your will. Send down your Spirit so that we may know Jesus and bear witness to our life and unity in him. May we know the mind of Christ in order to speak God's wisdom everywhere. Strengthen us to work towards peace and reconciliation in church and society. We pray for all churches that are experiencing change, and may your Spirit guide us here, especially at NKMC, as we move forward. We thank you for all the gifts you have given us, gifts of family, friends, and church. These gifts make the joys more meaningful and the challenges of this life easier to bear. We pray that you will be with the families and friends of Anna Marie Giesbrecht and George Weeb as they mourn. May your presence comfort them at this time. We keep those in hospital and personal care homes in our prayers as well. May your healing and comforting hand be on them. Teach us to share with others our time, our energy, our resources, and our love. make us sensitive and responsive to the wounds in the human family and creation. May we be faithful to our calling and live a long life on earth. May we give our whole life to Christ, for we belong to Him, and in Him are united all things on earth and in heaven. Amen. Charles? No. Oh, yes, sorry. Children's story first. So, if the children could come forward, please. I see that Ingrid has some wonderful props this morning.
Good morning. Did someone remember their homework? Yay. We were supposed to be bringing ships this morning, and I kind of, you know, I'm a teacher, and I know homework is not as important to children as it is to the grown-ups. So I brought lots of ships for you. So we have many different kinds of ships. Does anyone recognize this ship? Nadia? That's a Titanic. It's a cruise ship, and its purpose was actually to take people on vacation and cross the ocean. Does anyone know what kind of ship that might be? It's a Sea-Doo. Yes, it's a Sea-Doo. That's for fun, right? How about this one? Jalen? A lifeboat, very, very important kind of a ship. Saves people. We should have had more on the Titanic. What do you... Anyway, there's lots of ships, and the idea of this is that we are all ships, and there's different kinds of we. So my ship is a teacher ship, and a mom ship, and a wife, and a daughter, and a sister ship. Lots of ships in this me, right? The whole congregation is a whole bunch of different kinds of ships. And what I want you to think about today is we're ship, and we offer our ship. So when we come to church to worship, we're bringing our ship with us, and we're offering it to God. And it's good to come every week to remember that this ship is not really mine. It belongs to lots of people, or they share it with me. And when I come to this place called church, we could also call it a harbor. And do ships feel safe when they're in a harbor? Yes. And do you think they feel as safe in a harbor that's new to them? No, not really, because they're not really sure about how the rules go. Just like Mr. Bell is a ship in our harbor today, but it's his first time here. He's maybe not as safe as he might be in his own harbor. And if we come to this harbor more often, we get to feel more and more safe and at home. And when we leave this harbor, we can be a little more brave about the things that we learn here, because we know we can come back here to feel safe and get strong for our next trip out. So, worship. We offer our ship. So, can we bow for prayer? Dear Father, thank you for making it possible for each child to be in worship today. Thank you for the parents, friends, Sunday school teachers, for whoever made it possible for these children to worship in church today. Help us all to offer everything we have to you, and we ask that you fill us with strength to live pleasing lives with you this week. In the name of Jesus, our pilot, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go take your ships back to your harbors.
The first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to thank Steve for coming out and showing Brother Jeff how things are done. I've known Signpost Steve now for a couple of years, but I knew of him for a lot of years before that, and he brought out the ESB album. And I know some of you who have been into Elias Rittenbell and also then Steve Bell thereafter. Steve started out singing with his family, and then he moved on to playing with other people, and I've known Steve through other friends, but not having personally met him then. And so, and a lot of them are, you know, pretty interesting characters. not the least of which was Tim Elias, who told me a lot more about Steve than I ever knew before. Anyway, I got to tell you about the coffee klatch. We have coffee there every morning. And even though Steve doesn't have a lot of time to come and sit with us and chat with us, he always comes in with a big, radiant smile. And he's so kind and generous and gave us records and stuff like that. He's not going to give it to you, you know. But he, you know, he's always kind and generous. And I'd like to say that he's my friend. And the thing is, he's everybody's friend. And he always gives them the twinkle in his eye and the big smile. And he loves to chat. Typical Baptist. Me, I love to chat because, you know, I'm autistic. So, anyway, without further ado, I would like to call up my friend Steve and to bless us with what he's going to perform.
All right, do you feel like singing some more? Okay. It's a fairly simple song. Repeat after me. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one. Who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, oh, praise his name forever. I'll sing it with you. All praise and honor and glory and power, oh, praise his name forever. If you can't remember, you can just go back to the na-na-na part. So, God knows your heart. So this is a song, and it's really appropriate in a Christian worship service that at some point, we recognize this very distinct feature of God. It's been understood that in the world there are three major monotheistic religions. There's Islam, there's Judaism, and there's Christianity. I would contend that Christianity isn't monotheistic. It's not polytheistic either. It's triune. It's a very unique category, and that the instinct of the Christian faith is that God is three but one, that God's very nature, God's very essence is communion and love, mutuality. Mutual othering. This is who God is. And we weren't created, I don't think, because God was lonely. God was never alone. God has never known aloneness in that real sense. I think we're created out of ecstatic overflow. I just think the love that was building between the triune persons of God built up so they just had to externalize. It's like a songwriter suddenly has to write a song, or somebody has to make a quilt, or somebody has to dance. You have to do something. You have to take what's in here, all that joy, whatever it is, and put it out there. And I think all of creation is just ecstatic overflow. I think God couldn't help God's self. I think that's fantastic. But also, just as we're singing this, remember this one key thing, that we've been made in the image of God. And if God's very nature is community, then our nature is community. When we love one another, we're being fully human. Right? We're not being charitable or kind. We're being human. That's our nature. Okay. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, oh, praise his name forever. Is the one to whom you belong, who in your weakness has made you strong, who fills your heart with joyful song. Well, it is the Lord your God.
So sing.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, oh, praise his name forever.
Listen.
And who is the the one whom for you died, was mocked and spat at and crucified, who rose from the dead and is glorified. Well, it is the Lord your God, so sing. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, oh, praise His name forever. Listen again. And who is the one whom with you will be? From highest mountain to darkest valley, and who is the one whom in you dwells? Well, it is the Lord your God, so sing. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, who was and is to come. All praise and honor and glory and power, oh, praise His name forever.
Okay, let me teach you a wordless prayer, a physical prayer that goes with this one. Okay, remember the other one we did? That you can speak without speaking? Here's another one. Put your thumb up in the air. Initially, we'll speak. Say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three. But they're one. Jesus Christ is fully human and fully divine. And this is a mystery we seek to understand with all of our mind, all of our heart, and all of our strength. Amen. Because it's okay. Isn't that beautiful? Like sometimes that's all I got. I wake up in the morning, I'm rushing off somewhere. Sometimes I don't have time to know it's to mind my soul or anything like that. I just don't know what, but I got that. You know, and you can unpack the cosmos from the Trinity and the two natures of Christ. It's the whole mystery of who we are, who God is wrapped up in that one symbol that we seek to understand with all of our mind, all of our heart, and all of our strength. And when you trace that daily on your body, it's funny how that starts to be significant. It's a wonderful practice. It's not just for Catholics and baseball players. It's a wonderful way to pray in a way that doesn't reduce the mystery to the words that you have available to you. It's beautiful. Anyways, enough of that. I'll sing you one more. I'll teach you one more, and I'll get out of your hair. Sorry. I've been looking forward to hearing Christine speak for a very long time, so I'm excited about this. So one more. So we'll sing another prayer. I'm going to sing out a list of litanies, of prayer requests, so to speak, and at the end of which, each one, you're going to hear me go, Lord, in your mercy, and you respond, hear our prayer. Okay? So sing the petition, and then go, Lord, in your mercy. Okay, and then every second verse will double up the hear our prayer, and the second of the hear our prayer will go, hear our prayer. And then do this, dee, 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 dee. It's kind of optional. You can do it if you want, but you don't have to. Okay, so, okay, here it comes.
Now we pray to you, Father, for peace in the world, for the right use of all you have given, our respect for creation in us be restored. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. And we pray for those close to us and those who have needs, for the friends that we love and for all our families. For these loved ones we pray, Jesus, grant them your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. ourselves. Lord, we pray for those close to us and those who have needs, for the friends that we love and for all our families. For these loved ones we pray, Jesus, grant them your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves, for forgiveness of sins, for the evil around that is born from within. And we ask you, dear God, that you heal us again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dee 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 dee. Now in closing we ask you, dear Father, on our knees, Lord, for mercy on all those we call our enemies, so that all might be one in your love and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Steve. Before I read today's scripture reading, I'll just do a brief introduction of Christine. Christine is an educator at CMU. I hope that's an appropriate term. She teaches worship and worship music, leads the worship band there. I'm going to get her out to give us a hand. She also has her doctorate in worship studies. As I mentioned earlier, Christine runs workshops around the whole country, has done so in the United States as well, and was here yesterday giving us a number of insights into how worship service can lead us closer to God. And I believe that's part of the topic of our sermon this morning. So our scripture reading today is from Psalm 96, or not from, it is Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For he is the Lord, and is greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be here this morning and to have had the opportunity to worship with you. Thank you for the invitation to come. Will you bow with me as we pray? God, we thank you for your presence here among us. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to be at work in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to discern your voice, your truth, in the midst of all that is said and done. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a group in the United States that's come up with a novel idea to try and get people to come back into church. They're trying to raise $1 million so that they can buy a McDonald's franchise and put it right in the church. The project is called McMass. Now, it's kind of sounds like a hoax, doesn't it? But they're serious. And the head of the group, a man called Paul DeLuca, says, you know, Christianity is no longer able to capture the attention of modern audiences. And so the hope is that by combining church with a fast food restaurant, it'll make church more appetizing. He says, in order to save the religious communities we love, we need to innovate. Well, there's no question that churches are struggling. We've all heard the dire statistics about how many churches close their doors every week. So perhaps it's no surprise that people are willing to do just about anything to keep people coming to church, to keep their doors open, including getting rid of God. That's what United Church Minister Greta Vosper suggested back in 2008. She wrote a book called With or Without God. And in it she says, it's time for the church to, quote, be progressive enough to let go of the beliefs and traditions which can no longer prevail in our contemporary world, end quote. God, she says, isn't as big as before. God's no longer necessary to explain things we don't understand. In fact, she says, you know, God is just a concept created by human beings to give them comfort and stability in an unstable world. The church would be better off without God. Vosper's not the only one with that opinion. Just before Christmas, I read an article in the Globe and Mail about a new way to do church. It's called Sunday Assembly. It began in 2013, and now, just over a year later, there are already 28 active chapters around the world and 125 other groups that are interested in exploring the idea. Essentially, it's church, except church without God or any doctrine at all. They meet twice every Sunday to sing songs, to socialize, and to celebrate their core values, which are to live better, to help often, and to wonder more. Now, you might chuckle or sigh or roll your eyes at the idea of church without God, or the length some churches will go to in order to make church more appetizing, more appealing. But is there something here we should take notice of? I mean, there's no question that the church today faces challenges. Challenges in attendance, in giving, in finding enough people to serve and to volunteer. And many people are disillusioned with church and with worship. Many people tell me they often leave worship services feeling empty, feeling like there should be more somehow, but not quite being able to put their finger on what they feel is missing. Many of them simply stop coming. Others keep searching and experimenting with different churches and different worship styles. Some try looking for meaning outside the church, experimenting with different spiritual beliefs and practices from a variety of different religious traditions. What are they looking for? Well, I have a theory. I think despite what Greta Vosper and others say, I think people are looking for God. I think people are hungry for a tangible sense of God's presence and God's power. Reg Bibby, who's studied Christians in Canada for 20, 30 years, he's discovered that approximately 75% of Canadians openly acknowledge that they have spiritual needs. And 65% of us believe that, quote, God or a higher power cares about me personally. 65% of Canadians. So why the disconnect? If people in our culture are so aware of their spiritual needs and interested in God, then why aren't they here? Why aren't they in church? You know, the most recent statistics we have on church attendance in Canada, and these are already 7 or 8 years old, suggest that less than 17% of us attend church with any regularity at all. So you have to ask yourself, how good a job does the church do at bringing people into an encounter with God? I'm not sure we do a very good job at all. In fact, sometimes it seems as though churches are heading in the opposite direction. Well, certainly not for lack of trying. It feels sometimes like congregations are almost standing on their heads trying to entice people to come to worship. More exciting services, multiple service times, larger venues, multimedia, better coffee, better speakers, more relevant topics, contemporary music, smoke and lights and mirrors, almost everything except what people seem to be truly hungry and thirsty for, this experience of the power and the presence of God among us. One woman observed, "I often feel like when it comes to worship, I am standing in a river, dying of thirst." What is missing? Well, according to Tom Long, it is the loss of the expectation of God's presence. The loss of the expectation of God's presence, or as he puts it, God's dangerous presence. He says, when we see worship as just something we do, or even something we do for God, when there is no expectation of God's active presence, that God is in the room, no expectation of the whirlwind, as he puts it, then worship becomes small and confining. He says true worship happens in response to the holy and dangerous mystery of God's appearing. Is that what we expect when we gather together? Do we expect the whirlwind? Do we expect to meet God when we come together? Annie Dillard, in her now famous quote, which you've likely heard before, wrote, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." Our vision of God has become so tame, so controlled, so small compared with the God we see in Scripture. You know, in the Bible, when people encounter God, they are usually blown away. They fall down. They cover their faces. They go blind. They lose their voices. They hide. They beg for mercy. "Speak to us yourself, Moses," the people of Israel say. "We'll listen to what you have to say, but don't have God speak to us, or we will die." Is that the God we encounter when we come together? Or, honestly, have we simply stopped expecting God to show up? 10 years ago, George Barna, a Christian researcher in the United States, did a survey where he asked longtime churchgoers whether they had ever experienced the presence of God in some way, in any way, in worship over the past year. And to his surprise, the vast majority of them said, no, they'd never once felt as though they'd been in the presence of God or had a connection with God in any way. And Marlene Kropp, who some of you may know, taught for years at AMBS in Elkhart, she suggests there is something seriously wrong with that picture. She says, "Worship begins with meeting the living God. No other reason for gathering is adequate. Not even our well-intentioned desire for Christian fellowship or our need for instruction or encouragement. Unless we encounter God, we have not worshipped." Okay, but really, can we expect God to show up in worship? I mean, isn't much of what passes for an encounter with God in worship these days simply emotional manipulation? Yeah, and sure, that does happen. It's one of the weaknesses I see with the with the worship services I attend sometimes, that idea that you can somehow engineer an encounter with God by simply saying the right things or singing the right songs or tapping into the right emotions. Tom Long put it best when he says, God does not always move us, and everything that moves us is not God. So God's presence can't be controlled or demanded or manipulated in some way. God's presence is always a gift, but it's a gift that's given freely, freely. The Israelites in Scripture knew this. They had a special word for God's presence. The word was Shekinah. It comes from a Hebrew word which means dwelling. And there were a few places where this word Shekinah was used. That is, when the presence of God was assumed, was just taken for granted. And one of these key places was worship, whenever the people of God gathered together. And so one rabbi wrote, if two sit together and the words of the law are spoken between them, the law being the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if two sit together and the words of the law are spoken between them, the divine presence, Shekinah, rests between them. And later another rabbi wrote, if 10 men sit together, 10 being the number of men you had to have before you could have a synagogue service, if 10 men sit together and occupy themselves with the law, the divine presence, Shekinah, rests among them, for it is written, God stands in the congregation of God. And then comes Jesus, right, and with his own unique style, puts his own spin on this rabbinical teaching, and he says, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The earliest Christian believers trusted this promise. They believed that God was present, God was active whenever they came together for worship. That's not to say that God isn't also with us when we come before him as individuals, but both Judaism and Christianity suggest that something special happens when we gather together with others to worship God. God is here. Worship is charged with divine activity. It is fundamentally an encounter with God, a dialogue between God and God's people where God reveals himself to us, an act of grace. And we, through the intercession of Jesus Christ and the inspiration and prompting of the Holy Spirit, we are able to respond back, another act of grace. So worship is not something we do for God. Worship is God's activity, and it's something we do together with God. I'm convinced that Christians today are yearning for worship that lifts them up to meet God. Ours is an incarnational theology. We only know God because God continually steps out to meet us. We know God because how God has revealed himself over and over and over again throughout history. And when God shows up, it's rarely in a form we expect, in fire from heaven or thunder on a mountain or bushes that burn but don't burn up or in wrestling companions that show up in the middle of the night or in rushing wind or cloud that fills the temple or a newborn baby. Is that the God we come to worship? God who is not tame, is not predictable, who cannot be controlled, cannot be manipulated. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, God says. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Or do we come to worship a God of our own choosing, a God of our own making? Is the God we seek in this place the God who is, or the God we prefer? Christian Smith, who's a sociologist at the University of Notre Dame, has spent the last 10, 15 years researching the spiritual lives of young people, thousands of American teenagers and young people. And he's discovered that most young people today have a view of God that is very different than the God we see in Scripture. Most of them continue to believe that there is a God who created the world and who watches over it. But in their opinion, that God generally remains at a distance. God is uninvolved in the world, uninvolved in our lives, unless we run into trouble or we have a problem that we need God to solve. In other words, for many young people today, God functions as a divine butler or cosmic therapist. God is essentially irrelevant unless we need something. You know, the Israelites in Scripture struggled with this same thing, that tendency to want to shrink God down to a more manageable size. Like us, they preferred a God they could understand and maybe even control. Just think back to that episode with the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. They preferred a God that didn't demand too much of them, a God they could believe in without too much disruption to their lives. Think of Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler. But over and over and over again, the people were reminded that the God they wanted was not the God who is. And through prophets and teachers and leaders, they were constantly encouraged to expand their understanding, their vision of God. Haven't you heard, the prophet Isaiah writes? You can almost hear the frustration in his voice. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Hasn't it been told to you from the very beginning? It's God who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It's God who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them like a tent to live in. It's God who judges the rulers of the world and brings them to nothing. The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And those who've come closest to God in this world, think of Abraham and Moses, think of Jacob, Elijah, think of Mary, Zacchaeus, Paul, those who've come closest to God will all tell you the same thing. An encounter with God leaves people with a lot more than good feelings. An encounter with God changes people from the inside out. It transforms hearts, transforms lives. To meet God is to never be the same. In my opinion, the church in recent years has spent far too long worrying about the wrong things when it comes to worship. Asking the wrong questions. Is our worship relevant? Is it meeting people's needs? Will people enjoy it? Will they come back? Those aren't the questions we should be asking, because those are not the real dangers we face. The real danger is that we don't encounter God at all, that we stop expecting the whirlwind. The real danger is that we worship a God of our own creation rather than the God who created the heavens and the earth. The real danger is that worship becomes something we do for ourselves to meet our own needs. The real danger is that we leave worship exactly the same as when we came in. I believe that people today are yearning for worship that brings them into the dangerous presence of God. I believe people are hungry to know God, to experience God, to listen to God, to talk to God. And the really good news is that God's already here, ready and willing to meet with us. Earth is crammed with heaven, the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. Those who see take off their shoes. May God give us eyes to see. Eyes to recognize God's presence among us. Amen.
Our hearts are empty without you, barren and cold, but for the bold hope that you yourself planted within. In the mighty name of God, in the saving name of Jesus, in the strong name of the Spirit, we come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you. Sing that. We come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you. And sometimes we long for the morning, for a refrain from etchings and pain. Yet our loneliness draws us to you.
In the mighty name of God, in the saving name of Jesus, in the strong name of the Spirit, we come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you. Sing it again. We come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you.
One more time.
We come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you.
And now to the one who is able to keep us from stumbling, and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
You can stay standing. Thanks again for welcoming me here. It's fun to kind of formally greet you as neighbor, and thank you for gathering and creating this space in the neighborhood that I live in. It's nice to see. I really appreciate it. So, is this on?
Christ has no body here but ours. No hands, no feet here on earth but ours. Ours the eyes through which he looks on this world with kindness. Ours are the hands through which he works. Ours are the feet on which he moves. Ours the voices through which he speaks to this world with kindness. Through our touch, our smile, our listening ear, embodied in us, Jesus is living here. Let us go now and spirit it into this world with kindness. And through our touch, our smile, our listening ear, embodied in us, Jesus is living here. Let us go now and spirit it into this world with kindness.